rather than learn. I hadn't researched the federal law. Federal law was different from state law. When we contacted an attorney, we had to contact two attorneys. The first one didn't know anything about the change in the federal law. Ignorance is not an excuse. It wasn't in our case, and we paid. And we paid dearly. And we're paying 13 years later.
Yes, ma'am. I'll pass.
Representative Green, then Senator Little, and Representative Cox.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Sogar, I was glad to hear, or glad to see, actually, and then hear that you profess to be a born-again Christian, and that to me holds a lot of weight. It doesn't necessarily make any difference at this hearing, but I was concerned when I heard you say knowingly stealing is probably a greater crime than speeding. I have some difficulty with that. But what I really wanted to ask is that I've heard you say that you were not aware that what you were doing with the RV was wrong, and yet I quote from this newspaper that I had the feeling we were not on the up and up with what we were doing, not what we did, but what we were doing, which implies that while you were doing this, you had some feeling. And as you're undoubtedly aware, that ethics and ethical behavior is one of those things that's kind of intangible, but boy, the perception of wrongdoing is so paramount and so important that to do something that you had the feeling was wrong while you were doing it, I wonder how, when you say, well, we were overworked, we were tired, and so we did things, legislators are going to be overworked and tired, and how you would perceive an accusation of misconduct when, in your own admission, you performed an act that you knowingly had reservations about but continue to do that. Somehow I'm getting an imbalance here. Could you perhaps explain that to me?
I'll try. As I stated a little earlier, the only two incidences that I had with the IFRIC that I recall, and please bear in mind, I don't recall everything that went on. I mean, it was 13 years ago, and I've wanted to put this behind me. We made news back then. It was embarrassing back then. It's embarrassing now. I didn't look up any records. But as I recall, when I came back from Louisiana, I had some questions. I was uneasy, and I approached my husband at that time about this. My husband is a very carefree type of person and makes a lot of assumptions. On the other hand, I'm a worrywart, and it was out of character for me not to press, not to research at that point. I went to him and asked for explanations. He assured me that he would not deal in illegal ivory. I didn't know anything about ivory at all. And I believe the only other thing I did was to accept that check. Now, I don't perceive that as continuing in a wrongdoing.
If I might, it wasn't me that used the word doing. I was quoting you,
right,
which was being quoted in the paper. Your husband certainly is not being questioned here, but it sounds like then you're telling us that your husband has a profound influence on your actions, and that brings even more concern. That what you may hear here, if you were on the ethics committee, not that you would disclose it to him, but that what he may pick up in the paper as things that are going on may then come from him to perhaps continue to influence what you may do. If he was able to convince you, because of the husband-wife relationship, to do something you were knowingly concerned about not being on the up and up. Is that a fair statement to me?
I'm not sure where the statement was when the question began, but I'd like to clarify that my husband was running the gift shop. That was his business, as well as the restaurant. When I went to him and asked him about that was his business, and I accepted his answer. And I've already said that I should have followed the way that I am as a worrywart, as one who likes to research and to be absolutely clear on every issue. That was also 13 years ago. I know more about my husband. I know more about myself. I make judgment calls every day My investigations lead me to bring folks to court and oftentimes to jail because of their actions. And I'm very capable of doing that without any instruction from my husband. As a matter of fact, my husband does not know what I do as far as my cases are concerned. I can work quite independently.
One last follow-up to that, if I may, Mr. Chairman. You said earlier that to form an opinion is a very difficult thing to be in judgment in, say, that it depends on a person's background or a person's biases, and that to me smacks of historical input through your experiences, through your memory and so on. And so what I'm getting at is that fact that what happened was 13 years ago. By your own testimony, you say you are a person, or that a person is a makeup of his past. And so, again, I'm wondering if, while it may have been your husband who ran the business, performed the act that you went along with, I'm still a little concerned that where in the last 13 years have you now said, well, I am my own person, I do my own facts, I am a detailed person, he's a rather knee-jerk reaction person, but I now no longer am going to be influenced by him.
You want some?
No, I certainly don't want any. We heard earlier some very personal testimony, and I don't want to get involved in that. I'm just concerned about your, somewhere in the last 13 years, you have changed from allowing his influence to guide your actions to now saying, no, I'm a detailed person, I'll look it up, I won't discuss the caseload with him, I'll do my own thing. Somewhere, apparently in that last 13 years, that decision has been made, and a gradual thing, but you're now a different person than you were. You've alluded to the fact that you're older and wiser, you know your husband better, all those various things. Somewhere in this, you have changed, and I'm wondering if
I don't think I'm a different person. I think I've grown. I think I've learned. I think I'm more cautious. When you experience attention in the news media, that alone would be enough to cause one to do your own research. Now when we do something jointly, I read the papers through. I don't decide them when he sticks them under my nose, even a lot for sale and this kind of thing. That may sound like a small thing, and it's not that I don't trust my husband's judgment, he's knowledgeable in business, but I did learn a lesson, and I have grown from it.
Yes. Thank you.
Senator Little?
Thank you. I wanted to acknowledge that it takes a lot of courage to sit in your position here today, and I thank you for being here. Are shaking? Well, hang in there. I wanted to ask a question coming away from the ivory situation for a bit. You've been quoted in the paper concerning a recent incident that's gotten a lot of press concerning a senator. And I was wondering if you could tell us whether or not you formed any opinions about that particular incident at this point.
I'm sorry, did you say I was quoted in the paper concerning a senator?
Right, concerning the situation with Senator Jacko that has received quite a bit of press. It says that you were quoted as having said because it looks as if things are moving beyond us that need attention. If he, in fact, is using police and troopers for personal reasons, and I don't think we know if it was personal or not, then we might want to do some investigating. I was just concerned about whether you, in your own mind, have reached any sort of judgment in this particular situation.
No, I haven't. And. As an investigator, I would not want to take a newspaper as a source to begin my investigation. So I have not made any at all at this point. I don't know what is truth and what is facts. Not at all.
Thank you.
Anything further? Representative Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mrs. Apgar. Following on the same line of questioning, because this has been something that has bothered me quite a bit, When you applied for this job, for this appointment, did you have a complete understanding of what this job was going to mean and be? Did you know what you were applying for when you applied for the job?
I had some understanding. I didn't have the understanding then that I do now. I don't think that I had paid attention to the importance that this committee is going to have on the lives of legislators. I don't think it had occurred to me. And certainly the past weeks of news media has certainly brought it to my attention that this is a position that can't be taken lightly. This is a position where decisions that the committee make will affect one person's life, perhaps his family's life, many, many other people's lives, a co-worker's lives. And it's certainly not a position to go into lightly.
To follow, did you understand when you applied for this job that the job would require a great issue of confidentiality, that you would not be in a position to be making statements or making judgments? Or in any way making a reference to what was going on or what came before you as a committee? Did you understand that when you signed the application?
I believe I did.
Therefore, if you did, why did you feel it was necessary to make a judgment call to the newspapers before your appointment was confirmed, before you had seen anything factual, before you went into any kind of confidentiality meeting on the case? Why did you feel then that you had to make a response, and why did you make a response?
I guess that's twofold. Number one, I guess I'm not sure what the judgment call is you're referring to. What was my judgment?
Your response in the paper that said, if in fact Senator Jackal was using police and troopers for personal reasons, I don't think we know if it was personal or not, then we might want to do some investigation. Then we might want to do some investigation itself as a judgment call. Why did you feel that it was necessary for you to respond to the press?
The second piece of what I said there were two parts to this, is that I had been getting called from the news media concerning myself. And when this man called, I initially thought that he was asking me questions about myself. When that was clarified, I was trying to collect my thoughts and answer him as honestly as I could without making a judgment call. I guess I don't see that as a judgment call. And what I was trying to convey to him is, we're going to have to investigate. If there is anything, do it. If someone is going to make a complaint, there has to be an investigation.
Thank you.
Anything further? Representative James?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Ms. Apgar. In your previous testimony and the questions about your dealing with the media, I'd like to know, and having been a person who knows what the media can do with your comments, and how they pursue you to get some, and sometimes they even will ask you one question and it comes out, your answer comes out to another question in the paper. You have to learn when you're in a confidentiality situation to not respond to the newspaper, and even in your not responding, to say something that they won't make anything out of. Want to know exactly how much experience in your lifetime that you've had in dealing with the newspapers, positive or negative, and what your concern would be in the future were you to be appointed to this ethics committee. How would you respond to newspaper inquiries?
I've had just very little nil experience with newspapers. However, I agree wholeheartedly with Jack Curry when he said that he would not respond unless the group, the committee, responded as a whole and were prepared to do it as a committee. And certainly that's the way I feel. I feel that I was disarmed at that time. I was going through some trauma with what was in the press at that time concerning myself, and I was certainly not prepared at that time. I did not feel that I had made a judgment call, but I can see where Representative Phillips, Representative, could construe it that way, and perhaps it was a judgment call.
Okay, just as a follow-up on that then, with the experience you've had now with the press, and if they were to ask you when you leave this room some questions regarding your appointment to the Ethics Committee, and any position that you might take on future concerns, what would be your response?
Well, I've already thought about that, and I don't think there will be a response. So I may appear on TV tonight and look deaf and dumb.
Well, a no response is sometimes a no response. I mean, would there be any words at all that you would use?
Well, I guess I get tired of hearing no comment, but maybe that's the most effective.
Representative Porter, then Representative Nordland.
Not another question, just a comment I think that should be made before we wrap things up. The two appointees that we have heard from today and the other three who we may yet hear from today have all five consented to a waiver to allow a inquiry to their criminal history background, and all five records came back with no entries.
He was just putting it in for the record that there were no.
You have no criminal history.
Thank you.
Representative Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Apgar, there's been several questions that have been raised that raised both concern on my behalf, and that's on my part, rather. And that's that even though an individual may not know the law, or let's say an individual breaks the law not knowing it, do you still think that that individual should be held accountable?
Yes, I do. And we were.
Okay.
We made a mistake. We needed to pay to society. We did. We're still paying.
And just a follow-up to that also, you know, there are many things that the Ethics Committee is going to consider that not deal with illegal behavior, but deal with ethical behavior. It's a standard that's even higher than just simple illegal activity. And I just wanted to know that you understood that, and that, I mean, the committee is striving to hold legislators to a very high standard. And I just wanted to make that comment, make sure you understood that.
Senator Halford?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple questions on the federal ivory laws. When did they change with regard to export and transfer? Hadn't they changed the year before your incident?
I think so. I think it was the year before.
Did that law, would that law have applied in the same way had you been of Alaska Native descent? I thought there was an exemption.
No.
For Alaska Natives in that law.
Alaska Natives can sell, I think, anything, any type of ivory. I'm not an expert on that. I haven't touched it since.
As I recall, that was a confusing law that had just changed.
It was very confusing, and we made a mistake. We did not do our homework.
Further questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair, final comment, just for my own clarification, because I still am a little puzzled. Having felt the wrath of the media, if I might just restate what was quoted in the Journal Empire of January 1993, if he in fact was using police and troopers for personal reasons, I don't think we know if it was personal or not, then we might, and a puzzling word is might, want to do some investigating. Having already felt what the media can do to certainly utilize words for their own betterment, would you at this point change might to should? We
actually
might want to do some investigating, or we should investigate based on the allegations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm trying to ensure that there's an impartial view toward everyone.
I think that knowing what I know now, and I tell you I've gotten wiser in the last few weeks, at this point, I would have had no comment for the reporter at all.
I couldn't figure out how you could answer that.
I guess follow-up, is that your response to this? No comment.
Other questions from committee members? I have a couple I'd like to go through. I guess following up a little bit on that, in light of the way the media has treated you concerning your past, or your obvious frustration with that, I was concerned about what appeared to be your willingness to accept some of their comments as regarded the situation that they've inquired about. In other words, the Jacko situation. It appeared because you said, quote, "The lack of Senate appointees to the panel is unfortunate, because it looks as if things are moving beyond us that need attention." When you couple that with the other comment, it appeared as though to me that you were relying upon a press and a media to make a decision as regarded someone else and what maybe you should be doing in the future, an affirmative action you might be thinking of taking as a candidate or being on the committee. In other words, you would rely on them as to judge Mr. Jacko, but you certainly did not rely on them to convey the message that I should receive about you.
I don't know if I can, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying, but maybe I can respond, and if I'm not, we can go from there. Certain allegations had been made in the newspaper. At that point, I hadn't seen legislators denying that it hadn't happened. No one knew what all was going on. I believed that something had happened to raise the furor that had been raised, albeit the news media and their hype. If I'm affirmed today, if you people believe in me today, the first thing I think that I would do when an allegation, a charge is made, is read the newspapers. Do my own investigating. I do much better that way.
Has anyone ever provided you with a copy of the ethics law that we're talking about?
I have the ethics handbook.
Okay, and that's the one, David, that's been printed up on the new law? Mm-hmm. And you sent that out to me? Okay, good. And so you had a chance to read through that?
I haven't read all the way through it.
Oh. Quite a lot of buses have it.
I have it with me. It's good reading material.
You said that someone read the letter to you over the phone. Can you tell me how that happened?
Yes. One of the representatives' office called and wanted to know information concerning the allegations in the newspaper, and in the process asked me about this letter. And they were seeking some answers.
Can you tell me whose office it was that you were talking with that read the letter to you?
Representative McLean.
Have you talked to any other legislators?
No.
Concerning this?
Except Senator Al Adams is from Cobbsview, but I haven't spoken with him at all.
Since this incident occurred, you've obviously been contacted by the press on several occasions, is that you think?
Yeah.
And you've probably grown a bit in that process too, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'm curious as to what standards of conduct you would expect, or do you have standards of conduct that you would expect of people, as an example, a priest, a pauper, a banker, a used car salesman, a legislator? Where I come
from. Well, I think we're taught that from the time we're tiny. When I did my student teaching in the second grade, I actually brought in police people in their uniforms for the kids to ask questions of, and the firemen and different ones. And I think we're taught this all of our lives. When I was in school years ago, teachers didn't smoke. If they did, it was unethical. There was no law against it. It was just unethical. Teachers did not smoke. And if we caught a teacher behind the school smoking or something, we thought he was a big sinner. So I think we come with preconceived ideas.
Okay. Do you understand that the legislature of Alaska is intentionally set up to be made up of citizens?
Yes.
People of all walks of life.
Yes.
serve here.
I believe that's a new, isn't that a new issue that has come before the legislature, and it's actually taken place in 92.
Well, no, I'm not talking about the committee. I'm talking about these people seated here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's lawyers, miners, former chiefs of police, bush pilots, rural planners. We come from all kinds of walks of life. That's what I was getting at.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
But do you have in your mind a concept or a standard that you believe should be applied to members of the Senate, members of the House, members of the judiciary, as an example, to employees of ours? Do you have a standard in your mind? And should they be held to the standard of a priest? Should they be held to the standard of a banker? Or do you even have such standards?
I think they should be held to the standard of legislators, and I think there should be spelled out standards for that.
Thank you very much. Any further questions?
That was a very good answer.
You've got it. Paul around here, very politic. I asked Jack some questions like this. Were there other items you'd like to tell us about your background or yourself as a person? It's obvious that life has probably blessed you in many ways. You said you had children. Maybe you've also kicked you a couple times. You've certainly been through a miserable situation at the Ivory. So.
Actually, I wrote some notes, and I don't know if I can even find them, but it might be helpful if I could. I think I've been blessed in that I have a successful marriage, and since we've gone through the fire together, and survived, and that's when a lot of marriages fall apart, believe me. So that was a trauma in my life. Everyone tells me I look a lot younger than I am, and I think that's because I've had a happy life. I've had a good life. I guess I wanted to, if I'm the ending person, okay. I guess I wanted to say that I think I'd be good on the committee. I think I could be fair. I don't think that you need worry that you're going to get a knee-jerk response from me if I see an article in the newspaper. You need to remember that I have been there. I have feet of clay. But I have a lot of steel in my backbone. And I think I bring to this committee a sense of fairness. I think I bring to the committee my experience as an investigator. For 8 years, I have investigated child abuse and neglect and sexual abuse. And these are some of the most intimate things that can be investigated. And you deal with folks who are hurting and you don't know how to help the hurt. I deal with children who need to be protected. I deal with the perpetrator, and maybe he was unaware of the laws of sex abuse. And I deal with a mother who may have 3 or 4 other children, and certainly wonders how she's going to survive if her husband has been in jail for 8 years. Judgment calls are made all the time. And when we're dealing with lives, we need to be empathetic, but we need to have the skill it takes to make the right decision as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Senator Hopper.
Just one technical question. I think it's important that at least during sessions that this committee meet in Juneau when it meets that time of year. And that would mean some meeting time away from your job. Do you have any problem with that?
No, I don't. There wasn't a problem when I was on the union, and it seemed like, again, Juneau was the place for me, and I don't have a problem with that. I don't believe my supervisors would have a problem with that.
I don't believe anyone has any additional questions. On behalf of the committee, let me again thank you sincerely for the tremendous candor you've shown today and the heartfelt answers that you've given to this committee. I really appreciate that very, very much. And I guess if there's nothing else, we'll stand in. Should we find out whether or not we're going to have some people here in the teleconference first? Maybe if the committee members, I'm going to recess, but if we could just have the committee members stay around for a few minutes, we'll, in the area, we'll get a few phone calls and find out and get back to you quickly if we can, and whether or not the teleconference will take place. We'll stand in recess. Myself, thank you.
Okay, what should we do?